Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you again for listening. This is Jennifer Hellman, and we got a great show for you again tonight. I've been doing kind of a series of programs on the current shifts and the best way to handle what's going on. Tonight is no exception. Deborah Hill is an experienced practitioner for more than 19 years as an intuitive life coach, business coach, counselor, author, energetic therapist, speaker, and workshop leader. She also has 4 degrees in medical and psychology. Her unique talent is a way to peel away the layers that allow her to quickly see into and communicate to the people at a very deep intuitive level, helping them realize what's going on. She currently has a book, Unlimited Life, Limiting Beliefs and Belief Busting Power Truth, which gives practical concepts in changing your challenges and increasing your opportunities. Hello, Deborah, and thank you for being on the show.
Hello. It's great to be on the show. Thank you.
I really appreciate you staying up so late.
Yeah, I took a little nap.
That's good. Okay, now, I don't even know where to start because there's so many things I want to talk to you about. But let's give the audience a little more background about you and, 4 degrees.
Yeah, well, I just was addicted to learning and still am.
Yes.
I've decided to do it on my own and not have to get degrees. I started out, I've always had a science background and then went into arts later on in life. And my focus was on medicine and went into natural resources, studied nature and ecology, forestry, then went back into the healing arts, learned all sorts of forms of healing, acupressure, massage therapy, shiatsu, herbal therapy, iridology. I was in California at the time around 1976 when all these people were starting out and were teaching everybody in the Bay Area. I was really lucky to be around then. And then decided to become a nurse midwife. So I became a nurse, got a degree in nursing, and then a master's in nursing and became a nurse midwife. Then later on in life, I became a graphic artist and then decided that I'd always studied the healing arts and always studied personal growth, studied with several different teachers throughout my life, and realized how clairvoyant I was. And at that time, I started to put all of it together and decided to help people to take their next step by coaching them using my intuitive ability and also my psychology background.
Well, you do amazing work, and the book is wonderful.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed, and we're going to go over a few of those, but before we get into those, what was the idea? How did this book come about?
Well, in helping people, I've been teaching classes on how to create your life, and what I constantly come up with is, well, we understand the law of attraction, but it doesn't really work. You know, in the law of attraction, you want to define what it is. You want really create a strong desire. Then really put it out there exactly what you want and define it real clearly. Then you have to remove all resistance to having it, ask for it, and then let it go. And I would teach people how to do this, but then it wasn't happening, and I realized that the hang-up was that they had beliefs within them that were preventing them from having what it is that they wanted. A common belief for people who say, I want to have a lot of wealth in my life, is to think that people who are wealthy are selfish or somehow not good people.
Right.
And if you believe that, then you're going to have a hard time getting rich because that means you're going to have to become a bad person.
Isn't another one, is they're not worthy of having it?
Yes, that's another a great one. That works all the time.
Yes, it does, really does. The gem. So from doing the class, you decided to put some of the limiting beliefs. You have 16 of them.
Yes.
Yes. And then you have power truths. Now, how did the power truths come about?
Well, I noticed a lot of these things in my life as I was working at them. That, for instance, the first one, that we don't have enough time. That I would be running around my life and I'd be hurrying and hurrying, saying I don't have enough time. And then I just decided maybe I could just drop that idea and decide that I really do have enough time. That time is unlimited. And I started to believe that. And the more I believed that, the more I realized that I did. And everything just sort of fell into place. The way I saw that one of my main limiting beliefs was that for many years I felt like an outcast. I felt like people didn't like me. And I talk about this some in my book, but a teacher said to me, you know, Deborah, you're wearing this sign on your aura that says, you don't like me. So I decided that I'd done enough work and I've done enough going back and trying to figure out what was wrong with me and decided I was just going to change the sign.
Mm-hmm.
I just really strongly believed I could do that and did a meditation and in my head just threw out the old sign, put up the new sign, I'm very likable, and put that out in my aura, and I just, every time I was around somebody, I would notice the old belief pop up, and I would drop it and put the new sign up. No, this person likes me. And after a while, it just became a habit, and I have a lot of friends, and people really love me. It really worked.
Now, you said you just dropped the old, I mean, that's the one thing, and that's actually another one of your limiting beliefs in a way. If you hold on to the past, what is that one? Because that was a very interesting one to me.
Well, the belief is that, and I'm probably paraphrasing myself, that...
it's the fifth one, and it says, we must dwell on our past mistakes so we don't repeat them.
Exactly. And we think that I have to continually analyze my past habits, continually look at what I've done in the past so I can figure it out so I don't repeat it. But as you continue to think about it, you're actually creating what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we are like radio towers, and as we think things, we project those thoughts into the universe. And then those things just come back at us. So if you keep believing that belief set, my past, and you also fixate on what you think really happened in the past. A lot of times you don't really see it clearly. You're really creating what you think really happened in the past. But in present time, it looks really different.
Mm-hmm.
When you were actually there, the situation, the circumstances may have been very different. So it's not possible to really create the past again. The truth is that everything's always different. There may be certain patterns in life that happen, but everything changes. For instance, you know, if you thought that you were going to, if you were going to be a writer, you might have thought, well, I can't write because I'm not a good typist and I make too many mistakes. But you might not have seen that the computer was going to come out and it was going to spell check and correct anything for you.
Yes. And what a blessing that is now, isn't it?
I think I forgot how to spell.
It does make you wonder at times, doesn't it? It's like, well, it doesn't look right, but what if you spell check? But then even then, it's spell check sometimes. I'm finding that it always, because if it's the same word, but a different spelling, but sounds the same,
yeah,
that can mess you up as well.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, one of the other ones that I thought was a really good one, and I see a lot of women going through this, is I can fix somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
I see a lot of women that say, that they are, if the man, if they just do this, the man will change, and then everything will be all right. I notice that a lot.
And they expect that they will, that in time, that that person will change.
Yeah.
Instead of just looking at the reality, this is the way the person is and accepting them for how they are. I think we're programmed to do that from very early on. A lot of us, I mean, a lot of us, they just say, I don't care what people think, and they sort of are born with that ability. Everybody's got their way of thinking, and it just really doesn't bother me. You know, my father was like that. Well, he doesn't like me, it's, you know, too bad. I mean, he had a lot of friends. Everybody loved him, but I don't know who he was talking about.
Yeah.
But he really did have that attitude. And what, you know, well, I know for myself, when I was growing up, I would look at when people reacted to me, and I would think it was my fault. And I would think that I should fix that person, that I should change who I am to fix them, or it was my job to help them to be a better person. And in truth, that's really rude and arrogant, because
yeah.
How do you know what's best for the other person? Not only that, everybody has their lessons to learn. And if we try and fix them, and even if we were able to fix them, then they would just have to go back and do it again, wouldn't they?
And sometimes it's even harder the next time around.
Really?
We don't want to do that to them. There is a lot of people that they really, they almost, the other thing about this whole thing, I was going to say that they can't let go of it. That's just what they need right then. I mean, instead of dealing with their own issues, they need to handle everybody else's. And I'm finding that, at least as a lot of healers, a lot of light workers right now are figuring out that they don't have to fix everyone. They can actually give the responsibility back to that person to figure it all out by themselves. Do you find that being true for yourself as well, that you're seeing a lot of people, that psychics and other coaches, instead of they're really giving the power back to the people and empowering them by letting them fix themselves?
I see that in a lot of ways, in coaches and in bosses and parents with children, of wanting to just take over and fix that person. And you get that's like sort of the guru syndrome, where people will go to the guru and the guru sort of takes over their life.
Yes.
And that's really crippling. The person never really gets to grow for themselves in some ways. If they totally do not take responsibility at all for their own life,
right,
they don't get to learn their own lessons.
Well, I find it interesting that actually there is a group that, a very powerful block. I mean, it's a wonderful block. They have trainings all over the world, and they actually are shutting down all their temples in, I think, 2010, because they don't want people to depend on them to always be there. So they're shutting everything down. I mean, this is millions of dollars of campuses across the world, and they're shutting them all down.
Wow, what a gift.
And it's, they realize that people do get kind of hooked on that fixation of, you know, this will save me. You know,
right,
I just do this and everything is going to be okay, instead of really looking at what's going on and the issues at hand.
It's hard to take responsibility for your own life. We all want, a lot of us want someone to do it for us. That's victimhood. And that's how you set up this relationship with someone says, okay, I'll do that. And someone says, I don't want to take responsibility. And I see that people not only do that in life, but people will look to guides and spirit guides and other angels, whatever, tell me what to do.
Right.
And in my experience with talking with angels and the masters in my first book, and even with God, is that I'm never told what to do. I'm given information like, pay attention to this, you might want to know this. But I'm always told one-to-one, you know, this is your life. Enjoy it. I want to see what you can do.
Right. Right. It's very interesting. For me, they always say, okay, what do you want to do next? I mean, recently they actually, in a meditation, said, Jen, you have childhood dreams that you haven't even touched on yet. Let's choose a few and do them. What do you want to do first? And it really just lightened the load. It's like, wow, let's go have some fun. And it made a big difference to really take responsibility for my dreams and go for it instead of helping everybody else with their own. So it was it's very interesting. The other thing that, and I'm looking at limiting belief number 12, my worth is determined by what I do. That's a big one.
And it's so prevalent in this society. Everybody's running around, trying to do more. And it just occurred to me one day while I was running around, and then I had a period in my life where work slowed down. That happens when you're an entrepreneur. You have your fast ons and your slow, and I had nothing to do, and I realized I didn't feel worthy because I wasn't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really get in touch with, we are just beautiful, energetic beings that just exist on this planet and spread all this wonderful energy just being here. We have our thoughts as we're thinking, as we're loving. When you're in a really good place, you can walk into a room, not even say anything, and you'll change people's lives. I remember I went skiing with a ski club from Atlanta, and we went to Europe. It was really wonderful. We went to Zermatt, and there was a group of 42 people, and we all ate dinner in the same room, and I would try and move around, but you couldn't really spend much time with all the people. There were certain people you hung out with more.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know everybody, and it was the last day of the ski trip, and I was in the boot room taking off my boots, and this one woman that I had talked to maybe a couple times, but not really that much, said to me, I am so glad you were here. You just made this vacation just enlightening and beautiful and fun and wonderful for everybody just by being here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at her and, I hadn't tried to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so heartwarming, and it made me so aware that how much we change the world just by existing.
Oh, yeah. It's like you said, a smile can just brighten somebody's world. In so many different ways, just acknowledging them by looking them in the eye can just, wow, I really exist. I'm not invisible.
And it just occurred to me, if you look at animals, they do that to you. You're having a hard time, and the cat will come and just sit by you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to shame you or do anything. They're just being there with you, and it makes all the difference.
It really does. But animals are great healers, don't we think?
Yeah.
They're so intuitive.
Yes.
So, there's one more that I really thought was really interesting, and it is the last one. I need to have an opinion and take a side.
That's a big one.
It's a big one.
It's actually the longest chapter. Someone asked me if that's the most important one in the book, and it's not. But it's kind of hard to explain because we are so stuck on dichotomies in this world. It's yeses and nos. It's one candidate or the other candidate. You have to be vegetarian. You have to be a meat eater. There's all these different things. You have to be on one side.
Right.
And the truth is there's more than the two sides. There's everything else is going on at the same time.
Yes.
And Gurdjieff and Ouspensky and many people called it, the people are sort of asleep on this dichotomy, and you have to become the objective observer. And in order to become the objective observer, you have to remove yourself from those dichotomies and take a neutral stance. And if you can do that, and if you can remain in a neutral stance, you can evaluate both sides of the equation or just look at it without having to be fixated or stuck on it. It's not like you can't vote for one candidate or the other. You can still act, but you can act from a place of total wisdom of seeing the whole big picture instead of being attached to what thing will happen or what's right or wrong.
Right. And it's, I mean, that's I've just noticed that people look at you really strangely if you don't take an opinion.
Yeah.
If you really stay that neutral, and I say, well, that's a possibility, but there's other possibilities as well. Or just accepting, well, that's your view, and that's wonderful. And not add anything to it. It kind of throws them for a loop. What do you mean you're not saying anything?
It does. People like you to have an opinion and criticize and be negative or positive or something. And it's also able, when you're doing that, is to really get interested. For instance, I know somebody who's on a high level in the government, and the person's voting Republican, and that wouldn't be my choice at this time. I'm not promoting any candidates, but that is not my choice at this time. But I was able, from a place of neutrality, to say, how would you vote that way? You know, that's terrible. Just say, well, tell me more about that.
Yeah.
Because I was interested in hearing. I have a lot of faith in this person. I've known this person all my life, and she's very intelligent. She works in the government and has all her life. And it was just, and what the answers she told me were fascinating. And not that I am going to go ahead and vote for her candidate, but it was really, I could see why people would.
Right.
And
it
I'm
gave you a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It gave you another perspective,
right,
from somebody who's really supporting them. So,
and it also makes me to be more enlightened about my candidate and what this candidate is doing that she thinks is not appropriate. And then I can really watch for that, and I can see if I support that
right.
in my candidate.
Now, do you think having an opinion kind of gives people a little more security, or do you think it's a way of hiding their fears, or a little bit of both?
Oh, good question. I think it's always safe to have an opinion or a belief and to hold on to it. You feel like you're in control.
Right.
And I think it is fearful to let go and just to, sometimes it feels like you're just floating.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a strange feeling. Because you're moving, and I call it moving on on a sidewalk, or you're just floating along, and things are happening, and it's all happening in a real enlightening way, but you don't feel like you've got a handle on things sometimes, so, and that can be scary.
Very. Yeah, that's something that the last couple of shows that we've really brought out, that a lot of people right now, because of the way the economy is being said to be and all the situations with the gas, people are feeling very fearful and really wondering what is secure in their life right now. Now, you had mentioned, it was mentioned in actually the press release, that you have a way to kind of recession-proof people.
Right.
You want to elaborate on that?
First of all, I look at myself. And how I feel, and if I'm in fear. When I'm in fear, I look at, why am I in fear? What do I believe is going to happen that's going to make me uneasy and fearful? And all around, we're seeing signs. People are being laid off, and interest rates are dropping, and all this talk about the housing market, and on and on and on, and you listen to the media, and it's real easy to believe that's going to happen.
Right.
And if you believe that, you're going to create that.
Right. And the more people that believe it, it's more like self-fulfilling prophecy then.
And it's not that things aren't, that's not happening, but that doesn't mean that it's going to happen for you.
Right.
And even if things do slow down for you, it doesn't mean that that's going to cause you to have a bad time in your life. You can still make money. There's a lot of things that can happen during a recession. I know my business goes up and down, and when times are slow, that's the time for me to start planning for the future. Because one of the beliefs that I use to counteract the belief that things, I have like five beliefs that I use, and one of them is, that I replace it with, the truth is that whatever goes down is going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
So if things are slowing down, they're going to get fast again. And sometimes the slower they go, the faster it's going to be. So you better have your desk cleaned off. You better be well rested. And you better have some plans for how you're going to handle all the new work when it comes in. So this is a really good time for people to look at what's going on in their life and how they want to change their life and what they really want to do. And I see a lot of people doing that. Another thing that I like to, a belief that I use, a power truth for me, is that everything is happening for a good reason, whether I know what the reason is or not. And sometimes that's hard to swallow, but when I grab onto that truth, then I can take the circumstances and I can use whatever is happening to look at myself. When do I feel sad? When do I, what fears are coming up? And I can work on those things and get rid of them.
Right.
And look at why is this happening and what am I supposed to do next? Then you can take the next step and really grow. Another thing, and this is one of the beliefs in my book, is that people feel that I can't do something. But the truth is that if something's on your path, you can handle it. If you couldn't handle it, it wouldn't be on your path.
Right.
You know, you're going to be fine in your life. Things are going to happen. You're going to use this energy, and you're going to move forward. And this recession is tough, but it's there in our path and each individual's path, and it doesn't mean it has to affect your life. You can handle it. Just know that it's there for a reason, and it's not fighting against you.
Right, and you know, I always try and see the blessing in it. If they didn't happen, it's like last year I had valley fever, so I literally slept for 6 months. I couldn't do anything else. But during that time, I did so much deep cleansing, healing, and appreciation for myself that I wasn't doing, and it was the appreciation of really seeing how much I really had accomplished. Because I was moving so fast and doing so much, I didn't stop to smell the roses in a way. And with the valley fever, it made me stop and just really realize, okay, I've done this and this. Now let's stop and plan for the next part. And really do it so I don't have to be at such a fast pace that it wears me out again. So there's always a blessing in everything.
I think one of the blessings of these times is that people are starting to really evaluate what is of value to me, not is what is necessarily making money for me. What
right.
do I really like to do? What do I get the most out of? What, and even if I do want to work in this way, what works best? Where am I wasting time?
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a chance to really look at that and narrow your focus or broaden your focus if you need to. But just use your tools and move forward. Another thing that is real clear is that when you worry, whatever you worry about, you're creating.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And worrying is such a waste of your energy. And I know it's hard. I mean, I have a classic worry gene. I'm a really good worrier. It comes up a lot, and I'm constantly having to work on that and control it and turn that worry into positive thoughts by creating positive affirmations. And when that happens, you can ride this wave and become stronger through this period.
Well, don't you think also worry can be a motivator to move forward in some ways?
I think the energy of worrying that is, I know that sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night worrying, and I'll try to sleep, I'll try to calm my mind, but it's just like this. So instead of focusing on what I'm worrying about, I do something.
Right.
I'll just do whatever it is I'm worrying about to fix it.
Right.
Sometimes that thought pattern comes up, and it's been very helpful to channel that worry energy into action. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, if you're worried that you're not going to have enough money, okay? Let's sit down and think of other ways to make money. If one avenue is closed, there's always other ways to bring in more money. If, you know, I'm worried about the car not working, well, maybe I can do a trade with somebody and they'll work on my car so I don't have to worry about it, yet it's not going to cost me any money. There's ways of reevaluating the situation so it's a win-win situation for everyone, so the worry's gone. But if you didn't have that worry, you might not have thought of the other ways of doing things.
Exactly. And you could also look at, you know, I'm learning to delegate. I'm one to just take care of things.
Yes.
For me, I would say my car's broken, and I did earlier in my life, when I got a book on how to repair cars and fixed it.
Yes.
And then he might go into a whole new occupation, you know. It might become a trade if you like it.
Which might be a blessing. You never know. If you're supposed to be really going in that field, that's a good thing.
That happened to one of my teachers. He was in a totally different field, had a degree, and had to fix his car, and ended up being a Tai Chi teacher and spiritual teacher and auto mechanic. That's how he made his living.
That's really interesting, but it's also very grounding to work on automobiles.
He loved it. It is. They're very solid, and it's really fun when you change something. Like, I remember I changed out the power steering gearbox in my car once where, you know, I couldn't even turn the wheel, all of a sudden it works. It's affirming.
Yes.
It's exciting because you get to...
Because you took on that challenge and you did it.
Mm-hmm.
You learned from it. Now, I do want to let the audience know that Deborah is taking calls if you have any questions. The number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227, and if you're in Canada, it is 888-815-9756. Now, this is any kind of questions. It doesn't necessarily have to be on your limiting beliefs, but that'd be great if you do have one, and she'll help you figure out what's going on and help you change the way you're looking at things. From doing so many different things, have you figured out that all the little steps lead to where you are? I mean, that you had to have some limitations, so you had a challenge to bring you even more knowledge?
Absolutely. There's always this tendency in myself, and I think a lot of people, to look back and say, what was wrong with you? It's crazy. Why did you do all that stuff? Why did you figure it out? But everything that I've done in my whole life, I realize, has taught me, and I've learned, and I've grown. And now that I'm doing my coaching, all the different paths that I've taken and the things I've studied are sort of all coming together into one field. And plus, it isn't about, you know, getting to a culmination point. Life is an experience. And the more we can experience and grow and learn, well, for me, that is a much fuller life.
Most definitely.
So it used to be that people wanted to be Renaissance. They said men, but now we can be Renaissance men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Learn about religion, philosophy, math, art, and science. All those things we can learn about, and we can be masters in so many things. There's so much going on here. It's so full. I was listening to Elton John singing about it, and there's more to be done than can ever be done. I think I'm putting it backwards, more to see than can ever be seen. But it's so true. There's so much to do here, and some people are very happy, and that's what they need to do. They do one thing, and they get really good at it in their life.
Right.
And I think some of the great artists are that way. They came in to just paint. Just like Salvador Dali. I don't know if you know anything about him.
Oh, very much so. He's very much a very interesting man.
He was so fixated. His wife actually had, when he went out, took the bus, she would pin his phone number and address on the inside of his lapel in case he got lost. because he couldn't even find his way around. He was a painter, heart and soul.
Right. He was an artist, I would say, because he did.
Right.
I actually read one of his autobiographical, and it was a diary. It was a diary that he had written, you know, notes along his life, and it was very interesting. This is one of my favorite stories about him. Is he was going down to a press conference for a new design for a perfume bottle, and he didn't have it because he forgot to design it. So he looked up, saw a light bulb, unscrewed it, and said, "Here's my design." And it was just a light bulb. And they all clapped and thought it was brilliant.
That's funny. That's a great story.
But that's how, you know, people make it so complicated, and yet this man has just said, it already, you know, it works. It would work. You just put on a top and here's a light bulb, but it can be a perfume bottle.
And I'm assuming he didn't worry at that time.
No,
if he had worried,
you know,
he wouldn't have been able to
He was in the elevator on the way down and said, "Okay, I don't have this design. What am I going to do? Looked up. Oh, okay, here it is."
That's a great story. So it is good to have had all these experiences, but at the same time, if I look back on my whole past, you know, I try not to fixate on the past. Or think it's like the past is a storybook that I've written, but I don't have to read it anymore if I don't want to. I got the lesson. I read the book. I have the information. And now I am who I am. It's made me who I am, and I just am here in present time. The past no longer even exists. And I'm happy with where I am.
And I've noticed, at least with my path, that one thing led to another, and it's like, really scattered all over the place. I call myself a dabbler because I dabble in this and dabble in that. But overall, it all comes together in some very nice packaging that everything just is so interconnected in such a beautiful way that I didn't even realize how simple the plan was for me, and I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just living and enjoying and experiencing, like you said. And I think a lot of people forget that they need to experience it and just not run through it. And I hope that people start now to really slow down and understand that there's more than life than running through collecting money. That there's a world to experience and people to experience. So.
And the speed at which we're moving is not natural to our bodies. And I feel that it's creating a lot of disease within us, particularly cancer, which is cells going haywire.
Oh, it definitely is. Now, I understand that there's also a lot of those things that the technology is helping to mutate things so there's more cancers and more disease. And there's just a lot of people who are just so wrapped up in all the situations going on that it's making them emotionally sick and causing physical illness. So being that you've had the medical side as a nurse, how do you explain, do you feel that it's just the environment is really pushing people to be more at disease towards that?
I feel like we're creating our own reality. So the environment is a reflection of us, all of us. I feel that this environment is a stress on the body, that there's people want to blame, and I do think that the body has to adjust to chemicals. You know, our body is an organic living being that is used to certain foods and environments, and we're putting a lot of chemicals into it that it hasn't handled before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's having a hard time dealing with that a lot of times. A lot more disease, and I know in cities where children are getting more asthma than they had before, it's pretty clear that the outside is what we're doing to our environment and what we're putting on our food and the chemicals are things that our body can't handle. And it's also true that what we're doing within ourselves, when we're running around, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've actually experienced this state where I'm moving so fast and I have so much to do that I actually get out of breath. And that's way too much stress to pump through a body.
Right.
Your molecules, your adrenaline is moving at rocket speed and it's just not healthy. So it's coming from the inside and outside. It's creating peace from within and honoring what's outside and allowing the earth to create what it is we need, letting your body, listening to your body, what does it really want?
Right. And it's letting you really understand that everything you do does have an effect on you. There is a consequence. And I think, again, it goes back to people being more responsible for what they're doing and what they're thinking and what they're asking of themselves overall.
I think we have to also be careful to not believe that the environment's going to hurt us.
Right.
Because if you believe that, you're creating that reality.
Right.
It is a challenge for the body. But somebody's, maybe your body, hopefully your body can handle it.
And everybody's body is different. And that is one of your limiting beliefs.
Exactly.
Is that your body can handle anything you throw at it or something to that effect.
Well, mostly what I was looking at is that I can consume whatever I want and it
right.
won't affect me. It just floors me when I see these commercials about if you, I know that this food's going to make you sick, but if you take this pill, you won't be sick. If this food is making you sick, don't eat it.
Right.
It's your body saying, I don't want this food. Don't take a pill that allows you to make yourself sick and then wonder why you're sick. You got to listen to what your body is telling you. You got, if you eat something and you're really tired, that means that the food made you tired. Look
right.
at the facts. If you're getting lethargic over your food or you're getting congested whenever you eat something, you can look at your belief. Do I believe this food is affecting me? And try and change the belief. But if your belief isn't changed and your body has a life of its own, your body really knows what it needs. And it's really important. You can, if you give your body what it needs, it changes all the energy within you. You know, when you're really sick or you're really tired, how hard it is to function.
Yes.
And there's different degrees of that. If you don't eat right or if you don't get enough sleep or you consume things that aren't really healthy for you, then your body's just not going to give out the energy and you won't have as much energy to process and live your life.
Most definitely. And how can you experience life if you're too tired to do it?
Yeah.
So,
Continue. I was thinking about Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, yes.
Where everybody stuffs themselves. Not that the food is bad, but it's just a funny situation that people eat so much so that you get families together, and families often love each other. They often can be very, it's kind of hard to get along with your family sometimes. But maybe if you eat that much, it makes everybody tired and they don't fight. I don't know. That's just a silly
thought. Well, it's also, in some families, it's a competition on how much you can eat.
Really?
I've seen, literally they will have contests to see how much turkey or how much dressing or how many plates of food they can eat.
And that can't feel good.
No. And you really want to win that contest.
So these people are not paying attention to the body at all and what it wants.
No.
And the poor body's saying, stop, my stomach is too big.
Right. So with, now, where do some of these limiting beliefs come from? Is it past life? Is it family? Is it things just society? Is it all of the above?
I think it's all of the above. From what I'm seeing is A lot of it we're told when we're children, or we experience something and we form a belief about it that's not really true, but we hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
And other times, still, we are souls in a body, and we're not just, we haven't had many lives. We have one life and many bodies.
Right.
So as a being, we come in, and we may have beliefs based on our experience in other lifetimes or other body times. And when we have that, we're growing and changing, and that belief is a mirror of what you think you are, like you were saying, that you don't respect yourself or you feel you need to fix other people. Maybe that was something you took with you, and you're here to learn to allow to respect other people and to let them have their own journey.
Well, one that I will say that I've had to deal with is giving my power away, not feeling that I should, you know, it's like I've got to help everybody else first, and then I'll worry about me. But literally to the point where I'm drained because I'm helping everybody else and forgetting about me. And it was very hard for me to figure out that I was doing it, but I was doing it because I wanted them to like me.
That's kind of common. That,
yeah.
And it's based on a belief that you're not good enough just being who you are, right?
Right.
That I have to fix other people in order to be worthy to be here.
Well, it wasn't even fixing them. It's more like just being whatever they needed to have. Like if they needed someone to pick them up and take them to the store or something, I would do that. Even though I had work to do and things I needed to do, I would stop everything for them. And then I would have to make up the time some other way. And
so you weren't worth having that time.
Oh, yeah. And now it's like I say no really easily now. And I'm so glad I do. It's a healthy way.
Boundaries are a very healthy thing, aren't they?
Yes. And boundaries is... That's hard to put out there, though. A lot of people don't understand when you put those boundaries out there, if you hadn't had them before. And it kind of freaks people out. What do you mean you're not going to do that? If they're always used to you saying yes, and then you say, no, I can't do it. It's very interesting to see people's reaction. Now, there's different ways that people can release these limiting beliefs. So, would you mind going over, you know, the steps on how to release some of them?
Sure. Well,
at least a general, can you do it generally, or do you want to do something specific?
I can talk a bit of, you know, the basic steps that you can go through. There's some of the things that... that I do to notice limiting beliefs, and I talk about it a lot in my book as well.
Yes, you do.
Going more into detail. But the first thing is to notice, I think, is that if you want something and it's not happening for you, that's clearly you have something in your way. If at first notice, for instance, I was wanting to have a relationship in my life for years, and I kept trying to create it, and I'd work through all these different issues, and I decided I thought I was really ready, and yet it wasn't happening. And I said, well, what is this? I know this person is there. I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
What is my belief that's blocking me from having this person? And I meditated, and I looked, and I realized, I finally got to the core, was I really like me. I like me so much. I like to take me out places. I like to do things alone. I've been alone so long. I've gotten used to it, and I really enjoy it.
Right.
And I had a belief that I couldn't have my space in a relationship. And I decided, well, I can create a relationship where I have space.
Right.
Where I can have that space. And 2 months later, I met my husband. So it was a matter of looking at why isn't that happening, and really examining what my thought patterns might be.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may be that it's not happening, or if you feel tense or fearful or unhappy about something, you notice a pattern happening in your life, like how I noticed that people weren't liking me.
Right.
Things. You are creating that. What is within you that's creating that? And so then I carry on sort of a dialogue with myself. So what's going on, self? What's going on with you? And listen to my thoughts. Listen to the thoughts that are happening. Your thoughts will clue you into what your beliefs are.
Now, do you believe in journaling? Writing out your thoughts? Or do you just have, like, a mental conversation with yourself or a physical conversation with yourself?
I've done both. Journaling is, or writing. I don't like journal my events, but writing down my sort of a train of thought
right.
has been a real helpful way to get in touch with the different parts of myself. I found that was very, very helpful. And I was able to weed out what was really me and what was just other energies of other beings and other voices within myself and who I really was. And also doing some regression therapy and refining my inner little child.
Right.
And getting to know that child was really helpful, so that now I know that child and I can talk to her and say, how's it going? And now just to have this voice of just looking within, to seeing and observing from that objective place, looking within myself and seeing what's going on, what feelings are happening, and listening to me, listening to the thoughts that are happening, listening to the complaints while not buying into them, but seeing what's at the root of them.
Right. Excellent.
And then I tell myself, okay, I've listened to you. I understand what you're saying. Thank you for sharing all your negative thoughts. And I want you to kind of realize, self, that these negative thoughts really aren't working. And maybe we can use other thoughts. You know, rationalize, and drop these thoughts, and let's create a new positive belief. And then I'll come up with affirmations to replace my negative thoughts and beliefs with. I'll write those things everywhere. And then I meditate on it. And there's a little meditation that I do. And I talk about it in the book. And then I will reaffirm this new belief by putting it in post-it notes around my house.
Mm-hmm.
By writing it down in my journal. By constantly telling myself that. Having it obvious in different places to help reinforce this new thinking. And with everything, you know, the final step in the law of attraction is to just have faith that it will happen for you.
Right. Most
definitely. So if you can release those, change your beliefs, and then just you've already created a desire and you define what it is you want, you release your resistance, release these beliefs. Put it out there, tell the universe, God, what you want, and then you gotta just let it go.
Say, thank you very much for delivering this now.
Yes.
And just know it's gonna happen.
Just know it, right.
You have a lot of information mm-hmm. on your website, and I failed to mention it earlier in your intro, and I do apologize.
Okay.
So, it's yourintuitivelife.com, correct?
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what information is on there? Because there is quite a lot.
I do. I have a lot. I keep adding on to it. I'm trying not to make it too busy, but I love to share and I love to help people. And it's like one teacher of mine said, it's 100% for me and 100% for the person I'm talking to. I love doing this.
Right.
And I have an article that I write every month. You can sign up for a newsletter, and you can get a copy of that article sent to you. I also talk about my coaching and speaking sessions. And I have, I'm going to be posting podcasts very soon. I have a blog that I write, try to write every week, and it's constantly changing. I'm also blogging for Pink Magazine, and I have a I'm one of the master bloggers.
I do
the Manage Yourself blog on the Pink website, so you can read things that I've written there as well. That's yourintuitivelife.com. And I think that's all that's on there.
I do ask the listeners to really go and check this out. You can also purchase your book there, correct?
I do have my book for sale.
And you have another book, which we unfortunately didn't have time really to talk about, but they can check out your website. And the time has flown. It's now time to say goodnight. You can go to bed now.
I'm all excited.
And it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on. I hope to have you on again.
I'd love to.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you. Until next time,
this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and new inspirations. Until next week, many blessings and good night.